Good morning. We hope that you are hearing the birds chirp in the backyard. We hope that the dog is barking and waking you up for Sunday morning to get to church. Now, you might be listening to this show on another day than Sunday, and I hope that you are. No matter what, we want you to be listening in and following Old Lion, Young Lion. You might ask why we call our show Old Lion, Young Lion, and that is because we serve and follow the greatest lion of all time. That's the Lion of the Tribe of Judah, Jesus Christ, my Lord, Savior, and Redeemer. Now, my name is Anthony Stafford, and I'm here with Samuel Hazleton, our resident Old Lion. We are both shepherds and pastors of a local church in upstate New York called Electric City Baptist Church, and we meet every Sunday and gather at 10:30 a.m. to worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we want to thank the few who have heard our show and come and dropped in for a gathering and a service of ours. And we're really appreciative that our show is getting to the ears of those who are searching and looking for God's truth. Now, we are open about the reason why we started this show, and that is because the Bible clearly teaches that the righteous are bold as lions, and we intend to discover scriptural truth and proclaim it boldly. That's what Old Lion and Young Lion is all about. And we want to shout out a couple people who have sponsored today's show. We got two sponsors. One of them is Jamie Heath of the Malta area, and one, what looks to be here, an email supporter, Barefoot Anarchist, and we thank you for reaching out to the show, and we're going to get to some of their questions in the next few weeks. And if you didn't know, you can now email the show and ask a question or make a comment, and it will likely make it onto the show. You can email us at oldlionyounglion@gmail.com. We're also now on Spotify and YouTube, and as always, we love being on our local radio, WPTR. Now, we have a little bit of a tradition that we do on our show where we ask Old Lion in his wisdom and gray hair to take a deep breath and just pray over the show, ask the Lord to guide it. Would you, Samuel Hazleton, would you do that for us?
Yes, I will. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this opportunity once again to be broadcasting on the radio, to be able to speak into these microphones and encourage people who are listening at YouTube and other various places. Father, we thank you for giving us health that we have and enjoy today. Father, we thank you for our families. We thank you for just the blessings that you've flooded us with. And we are not deserving of these blessings, and yet you have blessed us. So, Father, today as we open your word again and we get into this topic of the armor of God and continue with some of these new pieces of armor, I pray, Lord, that every single person listening to us would know how to put on this armor. They would know how to equip themselves for the battle. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And we pray a blessing over all those that are listening. We don't know what you're walking through, and we want to just address the fact that this world beats you down. Whether or not you're a follower of Jesus or not, the world is going to make its attempt to tear you down. And the Bible teaches us that we have a hope that's in Christ Jesus. If you haven't found Christ, if you haven't come to know who Jesus is and what he's done for you, we urge and ask you to pray and seek the Lord for that answer. Now, Sam, before we get in the show, if you could, can you tell us a little bit about where we've been, what kind of topic and series we're in right now, what we're going to be doing a little bit today, and maybe we're going to be finishing out the show next week. Give us a little insight.
So we're working our way through Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 19. And this is famously called the passage about the armor of God. And last week, we talked about the belt of truth, gird about our loins. We talked about the breastplate of righteousness guarding our heart and those sensitive organs that we cannot live without. And we talked about how the Christian is someone who follows the truth. And what is truth? The truth is a person, Jesus Christ. We talked about the breastplate of righteousness. This shield, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 7, that the integrity of the upright is his shield. And so this breastplate of righteousness, when we walk in integrity, do the right thing, we are protected supernaturally by God. And today, We're going to continue on with the full armor of God that we're talking about right now. And today we're going to get into having our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We're going to talk about the shield of faith, wherewith we can quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. We're going to talk about the helmet of salvation. And so I'm looking forward to getting into that.
And Sam, I want you to tell the folks quickly about the bonus show that we're having next week. I know this is a dear subject and topic for you. Give a little preview promo for what we're going to be doing next week as well.
So next week, we're going to close out the armor of God with the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And this part of the armor that a lot of people don't realize this is connected, but verses 18, 19, and 20, Paul says, praying at all times in the Spirit. And so this armor is all in the context of prayer. And there is a hidden secret piece of armor that isn't specifically listed in Ephesians 6, but that is found elsewhere in your Bible. And so we're going to get into that a little bit next week.
I love that. Now, the book of Ephesians was written by a guy named the Apostle Paul, and he's writing to encourage those that might be in some kind of spiritual warfare. And if you've woken up today and you've looked around, or if you've surfed on the web, or if you've scrolled through some kind of social media, I think you might realize that the world is in some kind of spiritual warfare. And sometimes it feels like darkness is kind of at the top of the scoreboard, atop of the charts. But I warn you, not only all of you listening, but also darkness, the light can conquer the darkness.
That's right.
And those that work for the light and work in the light have been given these gifts of armor. And the three that we're going to talk about kind of kicks off with the shoes of the preparation of the gospel of peace, or boots. And before we get into some of it, I want to tell a little story, O-Line, if I may. And I think maybe people know this, but young Lion, myself, I am from the state of California. And we grew up not even wearing shoes most of the time, wearing sandals, or being out on the beach and kind of enjoying what God intended to enjoy, not a 9-month winter, but really be able to love the glorious nature that He's given us, and the beach and eating tacos on the beach and surfing in the ocean. But I moved up to upstate New York about 15 years ago, and friends of mine invited me to go on a hike. And in my mind, a hike is just walking up the path that leads us to the surf shop or the taco shop. And I said, boy, a hike sounds great. I can't wait to go on a nice little nature walk. And I come up to this place that we have in upstate New York called Vroman's Nose. And I'm in the car with a few of my friends, and I say, whoa, look at that mountain. And the entire car begins to laugh and mock me, me calling this what they called a hill, a mountain. And I was a little bit nervous about going on this hike now that I see what we were going to hike. I was not prepared for this hike. It was in a little bit the beginning of the winter. The Vroman's Nose, I guess, hill was covered in snow and ice. And I was just wearing simple tennis shoes. And I was not prepared for this walk. I was not ready for this hike. I was not at all in any condition prepared to do this. Now, I suffered through it, and I was not about to let them get the best of me, and my California blood can still make it, but I was not prepared. And this idea that Paul, when he writes about having feet that are shod with the boots or the shoes of the gospel of the preparation of peace, is so important. I love that he said this, because if you go into battle unprepared, specifically with your feet, tripping, cutting, wrong step, if you're not prepared for have your feet protected, you're going to be done for. Mm. So Sam, why don't you give us a little insight to this idea that Paul is bringing about feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. What is he getting at in regards, how are we prepared by this gospel of peace? Give us just a quick snippet before we move on to the shield of faith.
Yeah, so first of all of these pieces of armor in Ephesians chapter 6, this isn't the first time
right
in the Bible it's that this information shows up. Paul was actually borrowing these thoughts, this description of the armor from the Old Testament, specifically Isaiah 59:14. And,
right.
And I encourage everybody to go check that out and read Isaiah 59:14. But specifically with these feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, if you read in Isaiah chapter 52 and in verse 7, it says this: how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation, that's who good. Says to Zion, your God reigns. Wow. And so this is really the same idea, and this is where Paul is pulling this from. You can also see almost identical language in this tiny little prophetic book in the Old Testament of Nahum. In Nahum chapter 1, in verse 15, it says, behold, upon the mountains, the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace. I love how Paul is just lifting this from the Old Testament. I like to say all the time, there's nothing new in the New Testament. Everything you see in the New Testament was concealed originally in the Old Testament.
Yeah, and Paul uses the same language again in Romans 10 when he says, how shall anyone hear about the good news unless a preacher goes and preaches it to them? People hearing this preacher, they will say, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach this gospel. Mm-hmm. So I think the gospel kind of lining the way, the story of who Jesus is lining the way of the path that your feet must walk.
Let's talk a little bit more about these feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So there's a couple words in there that I want to focus on.
Okay.
First of all is preparation.
I like that.
So how do we prepare ourselves to publish this good news, to bring the gospel of peace? And there's three quick ways that people prepare themselves. One,
okay,
spiritually. You need to be walking in the grace of God. You need to have that time every morning where you get before God and open your heart to him and ask him to lead you. So there's spiritual preparation. Mental preparation. You need to have your mindset knowing that every place you go as a believer in Jesus Christ, you are, your main job is to be a representative of the kingdom of God. Mm. And what we're trying to do as members of this kingdom of God is we're trying to win those who are part of the kingdom of darkness.
Wow.
And so the way we do that, the only way that God's given us to do that, is this great news of the gospel of our salvation.
Love that.
And then finally, the third area of preparation for every believer, for every representative of God, the Bible says this, study to show yourself approved, a workman who has no need to be ashamed, who rightly handles or rightly divides the word of the truth. And so not only do we need to be spiritually and mentally prepared every place we go to be representatives, but we also need to spend that quality time memorizing passages in the New Testament that illustrate this great news, these terms of peace that God is offering to the world. And you need to be prepared in that way so that you can be a good ambassador of Christ Jesus.
I love that. And I think that understanding that we're at war and that there is peace that can be had that Christ is offering and that someone's got to go and tell it. And I think that's really great. What were you going to also get into this other first thing, preparation? Then there was another piece about this gospel of peace.
In the midst of a spiritual battle that we're in every single day, the unique heritage of the Christian believer is we walk 100% of the time in pure peace.
That's good.
That's what the gospel is. It's terms of peace. Formerly warring parties and the victorious party, that is God, offers to his former opponents terms of peace. And what are those terms? Simply stated, here are the terms of peace. This is what you do. Number one, you make a full surrender to the God who loves you. Second, you cut ties with the evil one, Satan, who had you bound in sin. Number three, you put your faith in the blood of Jesus, who paid the ransom for you as a prisoner of war. And this is what God does. Number one, he offers a 100% unconditional pardon for all your offenses. And secondly, he adopts you into his family to sit at his table forever.
Well, it's not just an idea where it's a peace that you have, a kumbaya peace that you can take a deep breath and now everything is going to be all hunky-dory. That's not the idea that's being stated in this passage. Though, when you are at peace with God, you can feel regular peace. You can feel peace and settled. The Bible says that perfect peace is his whose mind is stayed on God. But the idea that God is offering a peace treaty and saying, instead of me pouring out my wrath onto you, you've placed your faith in my son, Jesus Christ, and now you can be seated at my table. You were once an enemy, and now you're called the friend of God. And what we have in clearly, as Paul writes, not just in Ephesians, but also in Romans, Romans 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Go and read it yourself. It's one of the best pieces of literature in the history of the world. The Bible says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. This idea that it's not just peace, inner peace, but it's peace with God because we have placed our faith in his son, Jesus Christ. And not only is this the contract and the offering of peace, but now this is the message that once you've accepted this peace, you now shod your feet with the preparation of that message and tell everyone you know that there is peace with God through Jesus Christ. That's the message of the gospel.
So this next element of the armor of God, it says,
I love this one. I absolutely love this one.
It says in verse 16, Ephesians 6:16, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the fiery darts or the flaming darts of the evil one.
And this first little insight to the shield of faith, there's two things that already just pop right up. One is shield. He's describing what this thing does. It defends, it keeps you from, it makes you safe from Satan's attacks. But I want to kind of explore this idea of shield of faith. The Bible teaches this very clearly, that without faith, it's impossible to please God. The Bible says that he that comes to God must believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him in faith. Now, I got some unique thoughts about it is impossible to please God without faith, but I'd like to hear, Sam, a little take you have, maybe a scenario where you've actually seen this faith be put in action and you've seen faith in God become practically and experientially fruitful.
Mm. We were talking about this earlier, this idea of faith. And faith is actually a verb,
okay,
to believe. And it's a noun, belief. Faith is possess. Something you have. It's, yeah, a noun. It's something you possess. We are called to believe what God says. This is an action. This is something that kind of comes from a decision of our will. At the same time, the Bible describes faith as a gift. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it says that faith is one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I remember one time I was sitting among a group of men, and there was one of our friends that had really gotten some terrible medical news recently and was about to go through a battery of tests, and it really looked bad. Wow. And I remember, wow, this person just shared what was going on with the group of us. And a friend of mine sat across the table, listened to him, and looked right at this man and said, everything is going to be okay. And I looked in his eyes. There was no doubt. There was no wavering or uncertainty. We prayed for this man, and everything was fine. All the fears, all the worries were dissipated in a single stroke. And I believe that that was a gift of faith that was given to this friend of mine to just speak that faith into the situation.
Yeah, it's the evidence of things not seen. And he's steadfast. He was strong in this declaration of faith. I absolutely love that. And I think the testimonies of people walking by faith need not be bound through the books of Genesis through Revelation, but rather from Bible study to home group to meeting to people getting together around a dinner table and sharing how faith is tried and successful through many different situations of life. You could be out there listening and you've lost faith. You feel lost. You feel hurt. You feel separated from God. Faith is this idea that you can come back to something that's solid, a foundation of something to believe in. I really appreciate that story. This kind of idea where Paul is saying the shield of faith, Paul writes in other places and Peter writes in other places that faith is not only the shield, but it also is more precious than gold. He's like, the trying of your faith is more precious than gold. So in Ephesians chapter 6, we have the idea that faith is a shield. In James and in Peter, we have the idea that faith is also more precious than gold. But this reminds me of something, and I want to get your take on this. I know that you are one of our resident Old Testament scholars in our church, Samuel Hazleton. And anyone that has a question about the New Testament, they send my way. And anyone that has a question about the Old Testament, they send your way. And shout out Nathan Roberts. He gets a few of those scraps from Sam's Old Testament questions. But when I hear that faith is a shield and faith is more precious than gold. It reminds me of this story with Solomon about 300 shields of gold.
Mm.
When you think of that, there's got to be some connection. What say you?
At the height of Solomon's kingdom,
the wisest man that ever lived,
and he became one of the most wealthy and prosperous kings and kingdoms that ever have been on planet Earth. It says that during Solomon's time, silver was counted as nothing. It was everywhere.
Wow.
He used to get billions and billions of dollars of gold flowing into the kingdom every year. And so he took some of this gold and he made 300 shields of beaten gold. That is a picture of our faith.
Hmm.
However, one generation later, Solomon's son, Rehoboam, Solomon has now died. And Solomon, at the end of his life, drifted into idolatry. And that is when you look to something else or someone else besides the Lord as your God, as your sustainer, as your provider. Solomon had married many women, and these foreign women turned his heart away from the Lord, and he worshiped and served other gods in his old age. His son, Rehoboam, who grew up in this prosperous environment with great wealth, was full of pride. When there was a challenge that came to him early on in his reign and the people asked for a little bit of leniency and a little bit of leeway, he responded in pride. As a result, his kingdom was split, and then soon thereafter, the king of Egypt came and took away all the gold out of Jerusalem.
Wow.
He took away all the 300 golden shields that were made, just took it all away, and Rehoboam was left. He had to make shields of bronze, the Bible says. But this is an example. When we rely on the things of this world to provide for us rather than God, we rely upon our bank account, we rely upon our wealth, we rely upon our job, we rely upon all these things that can be taken away rather than the God who cannot be taken away.
Wow.
Our faith is not in the right place. And as a result, we are going to suffer great loss.
I love this story. You can find this story in 1 Kings and 2 Chronicles about Solomon versus Rehoboam. And it's just a picture from the Old Testament that shows that we ought to walk by faith and not by sight.
Mm.
It's a new little tidbit of wisdom for you to have to encourage you to be built up in the faith rather than to stir up your own physical ability and figure stuff out on your own and give your best white-knuckled approach to just get things done. God's sitting here saying, I'm providing you with 300 shields of gold. It's what you need. And he has it there for you. This is a powerful passage where it starts out with these shoes for the gospel, then this shield of faith. The Bible says that you're kept by the power of God through faith. It's so important. It's incredibly important, this thing of faith. But then Paul kind of starts to close out this defensive list of his armory by talking about maybe the most famous piece of armor, the helmet of salvation. So Paul doesn't give a lot of detail on this, Sam. What is he kind of inferring? What does he want you to pick up from using this word helmet with maybe a Roman guard's helmet in his mind, as well as this idea of salvation? Give us a little breakdown between what is Paul getting at with helmet of salvation?
So this is a protective thing. You know,
right.
Somebody's coming at your head with a sword. Somebody's coming at your head with a mace. You're going to want one of these solid metal helmets around your head because the head, very much like the lungs and the heart when we talked about last week, this is something, if you sustain a wound to the head, you're probably not going to survive too long.
Mm.
And so this helmet is around the head, which speaks to me of that's the seed of the mind.
Oh, that's good.
It's at the helmet of salvation. One of the things that Satan, one of his tricks that he loves to play, he talked about those fiery darts that he's always throwing.
And he's always out there shooting them. He doesn't take days off.
No, he does not. So those fiery darts are coming, and a lot of them are aimed at the mind, especially someone who's a new believer in Jesus Christ, somebody who's just recently come to faith. They are going to be attacked by Satan in the area of their salvation.
That's good.
Satan is constantly trying to undermine our faith. He's trying to undermine the basis for our belief in salvation. And there's a verse in 1 John chapter 5, verse 13.
1 John 5:13 says, "These things have I written unto you, that you believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." How does this 1 John verse apply to this idea of the helmet of salvation, old lion?
It says right in there, 1 John 5:13, that you may know that you have eternal life.
Right.
One of the things that faith is assurance. It's not a hope-so, it's an I-know-so. Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." We're not sitting here wondering. We know that we have received eternal life. And those fiery darts of doubt are just bouncing off the helmet of salvation. And this is the position that God wants you to be in.
I love that, the helmet of salvation, so strong. You lose your head, you're out. You get attacked with no helmet, you're done. And this idea about steadfastness, foundation, assurance, confidence. In the world today, you won't know if you'll have your job tomorrow. You won't know if you'll lose your loved ones tomorrow. You won't know if some disaster might come through, a tornado, a hurricane, fires. There's nothing guaranteeing you that you'll have this long-term success. But the helmet of salvation is something that you can be sure of. That you've placed your faith in Jesus guarantees you this eternal life. The helmet of salvation is so important. If you're out there being tossed to and fro with all the things of this world, you need to be convinced that you need to place the helmet of salvation on your head. The way, the truth, and the life, Jesus Christ, through him is the only way. He is the only one that places this. The Bible calls him the captain and the author of salvation. And he places helmets on the heads of his children. Satan wants to lie to you, attack you, and get in your mind saying God doesn't love you, you're not a child of God, God doesn't care, and all those things are lies that the helmet of salvation protects you from.
Mm. And you'll grow in this as your faith grows.
Definitely.
You will become more and more confident. I remember as a young believer in Christ, it would seem like much of the day, every day, I was battling these thoughts where Satan was trying to come in. Every time I made a mistake, every time I had a wrong thought, every time I had a wrong motive, Satan would come and try to undermine the basis of my salvation and question it. This is what he's always doing, just like he did in the Garden of Eden. He said, "Hath God really said?"
Right.
And so this is one of his tactics. This is the way he shoots those fiery darts. We need to be prepared for him. We need to have that helmet of salvation pulled down tight so that we know in every situation the love of God, the truth of God, the promise of God of eternal life that is ours. Why? Because we believed what God said about his son.
I love that. Folks, the devil is a liar. Are you ready to go to spiritual war? Are you ready for the day? Are you ready to step out, put the armor on, and go walk in the steps that the Lord has ordered for you? We are not a show necessarily that gets into politics. We're not a show that gets into what's going on around the world. We're not a show that gets into the sports thing or what's going on with the Super Bowl or the NBA championship. We're a show that discovers truth from God's word and proclaims it boldly. We hope that you'll stay with us on this journey through the armor of God and many other topics as we go along with this show. Have a great day, and God bless.
And we'll see you at church.